majority of the indicators in this program that we did not achieve was actually already presented through the crime release and the follow-up session that we had on that. So for your permission, ma'am, I'm not going to go into the detail because the root causes and the corrective measures have actually already been presented. I'm just going to recap on the areas where we did not perform. You will note that in the physical policing program, we are limiting 33 performance indicators, and 9 of the performance indicators we did not achieve the target. I'm currently on slide 137. The first indicator that we did not achieve the target on page 138 relates to reported serious crime as it was presented by the crime registrar at our previous engagement, where the target was set focusing on a 2% reduction. There was an increase of 0.6% on the serious crime that includes the 17 community reported crimes that we previously included. The second indicator, I would say, that we did not achieve the target was in the area of contact crime. The target was set at a reduction of 7.2%. We achieved 2.6% increase in reported crime, meaning at the total of 618,472. The third indicator where we did not achieve our target was the reported crimes against women, where we had an increase of 1.2% to a total of 179,683. And as I indicated, the reasons for the non-achievement, etc., was presented, the root causes were presented at the previous engagement. Crimes against children, we aimed at a reduction of 5.57%. We had an increase of 3.9% at year end, at a total of 45,229. I just want to stop there and pause there for a moment at this slide 141. The minister, I can't recall if it was the deputy minister or the minister who yesterday referred to the retreat that we had over 3 days to develop a proper response plan to the increase in the crime statistics as it was reflected and presented. So the majority, all the provinces have already initiated specific response plans to react to the increases as it was detected in our presentation. The next area I would say where we have a non-achievement of a target is on page 145. It relates to contact-related crime. It is actually still part of the crime categories, where we targeted a reduction of 1.96%, but we end the year with an increase of 1.5%. with a total of 117,814. The next area also includes the other serious crime that is increased by 1.4%, I would say, where we targeted a reduction of 2%, and the total reported at year end was 446,844. In the area where we talk about the increases, or we're actually looking for an increase in your crime dependent on police action that focuses on drugs and illegal and firearms, first of all, on drug related crime. Although there was an increase of, there was a decrease of 28% from 323,000 down to 232,000. And so I would say the primary contributor to that was the Constitutional Court judgment that legalized the use of cannabis under certain circumstances. And as a result of that, there was a drastic increase, decrease in the number of arrests that were made in this regard. The next area I would say is the recovery of police vehicles. The South African Police Service set a target to maintain our previous performance at the recovery of 36,000 vehicles. We recovered a total of 28,418, and that included 22,444 identified vehicles, 5,773 unidentified vehicles, and then also a total of 203 vehicles that were recovered during your cross-border operations. Unfortunately, we did not achieve the target and it ended at 8,150, less than what the planned target was. And the primary reasons for the underperformance as far as this is concerned is the inadequate intelligence driven operations that we implemented to trace the stolen vehicles. And another problem that we encountered is the legislation of the governments in our neighboring countries that is not supporting the SAT in terms of the repatriation of stolen and lost vehicles, the vehicles that we recover in those countries. The next one, obviously, that we also did not achieve the target is the firearm licenses. In terms of the standard that is applicable to SATs, we committed that 90% of all new firearm applications must be finalized within 90 working days. We achieved a total of 70.31% out of a total of just below 100,000 new applications that we received. 69,770 finalized working days, 90 working days. The actual performance is 19.69% below the target, and one of the reasons that contributed to the fact that we did not achieve the target was the CFRS, the non-firearm registration system that is used by the South African Police Service, that has got the tendency over peak hours to be very slow, and that delays the administration of those applications from a systems perspective. I think those are all the indicators where we did not achieve the target. Other members will note as from slide 161 that is in the ORS environment that talks to border control and the deployment of our specialized forces and the cargo, searching of cargo and persons, etc. Then we've achieved all the targets in terms of the requirements that is stipulated in the annual performance plan. Maybe just to quickly quote a few figures in that environment, on slide 162, we policed a total of 15,957 crowd management related incidents. Then cargoes 199 on slide 164. Cargoes that we detected without any security breaches. In terms of the performance at our ports of entry, all the vehicles that were profiled, all the containers and cargo that were profiled for the purpose of searching, that was done by the border control capability. In the high-risk deployments, our national intervention unit responded to a total of 1,920 incidents, and the special task force on slide 166, our special task force was deployed in 174 incidents. Getting to slide 169, these are the responses to the increases in crime. With your permission, Honourable Chair, I will not repeat the interventions because at the previous two engagements, management responded to what actions will be implemented to address the increases in crime. That includes primarily the implementation of specific strategies that the National Commission has initiated to, for instance, focus on community collaboration, improving community relations, the rural safety strategy to enable the SATs to properly respond to crime in rural areas, effective policing, protecting the vulnerable groups in those specific areas. And then also the National Commissioner in the previous meeting referred to concepts like community and group concepts and supporting the specific commitments and deliverables identified within the National Development Plan. And it is also that specific intervention is in support of the community policing strategy. And that includes, for instance, patrollers that are recruited and deployed within specific communities. In the drug-related environment, the emphasis on the National Drug Master Plan and how it will be rolled out within the provinces, also focusing on issues that relate to community education with regard to substance abuse, and increasing police activities to focus on the supply of illicit drugs and liquor and that is sold illegally, and ensure that we have effective law enforcement as far as that is concerned. And Honourable Chair, I also referred, already referred to the crime summit or the crime retreat over the weekend, which I think was quite a productive exercise, and emanating from that, the Minister identified certain commitments over the next 90 days that we have to focus on in terms of the specific crime problems that were identified. On the firearm licensing issues, the SAS, we've completed the assessment of the Firearm Control Act, and there was a turnaround plan implemented for the environment and the responsible for firearm licenses, and that includes the capacitation of your designated firearm officials, your structures at local level, the utilization and optimizing the relevant system that you use in that environment. Sorry, I'm on page 173. The vetting and of DFOs in the processes, those include some of the actions that we are implementing. And then on the, that I'm going to speak here. I would say that is in short the areas. As I indicated to you, as far as visible policing are concerned, the primary concern or the areas that we've identified is as far as crime is concerned. But the detail is included in our crime, annual crime release that was previously presented. Ma'am, thank you. I'm not sure if I should continue or allow for questions at this point in time.
Question on this round? We can continue. That question? No, thank you, Chair. Just on slide, I think it's 151, where they are talking about intelligence. Adequate intelligence remit of operation. I don't understand whether this is the lack of maybe one body to do the work, or it's because the intelligence is not doing their work. The second one is about the drug. Issue of the drug. I know you have done a good work in the few months targeting the factory that manufactures drugs. And I'm very happy with that. But you see, if you concentrate only on the big shark, it's good that we must deal with them. But we need not ignore the runner here on the car, because as you move on this side, they change the tactics also. But if it is intelligence driven, because you have done a lot of work, you have seen arrest of the big shot. And I was very happy that at least our intelligence is working. So, but if we don't have to do the side of on the ground here, because on the ground that is where the damage is done. I know you are going to come to that, but you know, a little bit of deployment of some of your intelligence in this our township, particularly our township, because it affects really our team. So if I don't understand if you're saying adequate intelligence really because of the intelligence is not good and that's all because of their spread all over and they can't do their work. But I was saying with the trust, don't ignore the township. These small ones, these are the ones that are destroying our society. Once we do, you do the success with the main, but we need to deal with the factions so that there must not be a supply. But we did not also ignore the ground that something happened there.
Thank you, Che. Che, I've got a couple of questions. I want to start on slide 139. It's about contact, right? Let me say, Chairperson, just for introductionary, if you look at the performance and the targets, and I've mentioned it in previous committee meetings, the performance is measured by the number of crimes reported. And then the target is set that that number should be reduced. Now for me that's a bit of a problem. I understand the principle is to say that the police is more effective to combat crime. But there's other problem, Chairperson, and that is that that leads to the situation where we on station level are not sure whether we really get the correct data. Because if all cases are reported, then you have a problem with your target of your performance. And that shouldn't be like that. So I want to say that there should be looked into the principle. I said it before, but I say it again in the sixth part. We'll have to look into the principle of the reporting of crimes and to link that to the performance of the police services. I don't think it's fair to say that because there are more reported, let's take for instance domestic violence. It's a very sensitive issue. We know people don't want to go and lay charges. But now the target, the police says itself, is that there should be less reported crimes. Which in fact then, it's a negative effect for people to report that if they report because we want to enhance circumstances where specifically when it comes to violence against women and children to report it more to the police services. But now the police services have the problem the more they report their performance if they the impression is that they are not performing correctly. So the principle, I want to start by saying we have to look at the principle specifically when it comes to crime statistics. In more specific, Jefferson, I'd like to go to the 139 slide. It says that it's the number of reported contact crimes. And it says part of that it's increases in murder, sexual offences and everything, and it says increased levels of unemployment and the influx of foreign nationals. So we say that there is quite an increase of contact crimes because of foreign nationals. It's positive, stands there. So I would like to know, Chambers, because I've asked numerous questions of that. How many foreign nationals are involved in crime in South Africa, specifically in view of what we have of xenophobic attacks, because the public said, no, but we have this syndicate of foreign people, and it's crime and it's drugs and all that sort of thing. Now we get actual confirmation that part of contact crime is part of the increase of the influx of foreign nationals. And if we want to address that issue, we will have to get specific statistics on it so that we can deal with the matter. The other one, a third person, is slide 142. It looks good. 100%, all 1,149 police stations with victim-friendly services to the victims of rape, sexual offences, domestic violence and abuse. But yet, I think we must be honest with each other. Yes, the police station may be victim-friendly, but unfortunately, members of the police are not always friendly when it comes to these victims. We still need too many cases where women go to lay a complaint against the partner and then the woman gets raped by the police. It's totally unacceptable. And that should be so severely punished that it should never happen. And I would like to know from the police services, what are they doing? Do they have special programs when it comes to women and children in terms of training the people how to deal with them? Because that's part of the problem. Another one, Chairperson, 153, 656 persons escaped in police custody. That's to me. And I would like to know what consequence management did apply. How many of the people who was in charge of that specific time, what happened to the members? Where we can get that 656 people have been escaped. Then, Chairperson, of my answer for a lot of questions. Firstly, I think we need some clarity. Let me first say, on slide 173, it states of the training of DFOs, designated firearms officers. Chairperson, but they are not well trained. I said to the commissioner, in fact, I sent him the copy of the director that in Northwest, for instance, about a week or 2 weeks ago, there was a directive given by the Northwest Department to say that amnesty had been granted and it specifically targeted people who did not renew their licenses. I got the directive. Now firstly, amnesty was not granted. But we get a directive in the province that say to the people, you must not get those firearms. In fact, it's a bit of a problem, because when we're going to discuss the amnesty, I'm going to use this again to say the main target is quite clear. Like, the amnesty is to target people who don't renew their firearms licenses. So that's a huge problem. Talking of that, Chairperson, I would like to hear from the Commissioner now, what is the present situation when it comes to those firearms owners that did not apply in time for the renewal of their firearm licenses? Because we know the court cases, the last one, that says the police are not allowed to take those firearms. But now, the question arises, right, you don't have to hand in your firearm, but can a firearm owner still now, whose firearm license has expired, go and apply for a renewal in this period now? Or must they still wait to see what the final outcome of the court case is going to be? Because there's quite confusion. Some DFOs say, yes, you can apply. Yes, there is the court case, so please come and apply for the renewal. Other DFOs say, no, you're not allowed to apply. It's confusion. So I would like to have clarity on that issue. Chairperson, further, it's the same with cannabis. I don't know if the police, and I sympathy with it. There's a court case, but the court case, the finding is of such nature, it can be different to be interpreted. But now the question is, what is the situation? If you find somebody on the street, for instance, with cannabis, can you arrest that person? Is it illegal? Or is it, yes, we know, in private you may use it as a purpose. Well, that's a fourth. But does that mean, because there's also confusion in the police service with members, that means they're always good. Something, yes, valid. Now you're only allowed to use cannabis in at private, in your house, or your home, or wherever you are, but you're not allowed to have it on street. So I think the public wants to have certainty on what and how the police is acting to that. Chairperson, yes, I've got still a lot of questions, but my last are two questions. On the reservist, Chairperson, the number of reservists have decreased from 12,138 in 2017-18 to 10,144. And I've mentioned this problem many times. Do we want reservists or not? Because reservists is essential in fighting crime, whether you're in a town, a city, or in a rural area. It's people from the community who wants to deliver the service. It's free of charge. They don't get paid for that. And I understand there must be standards and a criteria. But, I mean, the criteria, if you look at, just to give you one example, that the reservists are not allowed to have the tattoo. Now, this person is not a permanent member. It's a member of the community. So maybe there is a small tattoo on the arm or on the hand or something like that, but because of that, you're not allowed. I would think that for reservists, there should be a different criteria to qualify as a reservist. So that is it. My last point, Chairperson, is on the rural safety strategy. Firstly, I want to say thank you again. I said thank you to the Minister, and I also want to say thank you to the Commissioner for the fact that we get the farm murders and the farm attacks in the annual statistics now. But Chairperson, I also want to thank the Commissioner because he is in an effort where he makes contact with agricultural unions, not only Agri South Africa, but also, for instance, from a Transvaal Agricultural Union. And I just want to state that those organizations want to work with the police and they can contribute. And coming back to the rural safety strategy, there are still, unfortunately, too many, can I say, areas that should be improved. And I would like to hear from the Commissioner what from the police side are we going to do to ensure that we have better rural safety. Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson, thank you. I'm also covered to a large extent by my colleague, but I've got, you know, some more clarity that I need. First of all, I want to start with a firearm renewal process. Chairperson, I'm in the midst of such a process at the moment myself. And I must really admit, it is cumbersome beyond anything. I mean, you are being sent from pillar to post and to leave posters, and I mean, they even wonder how do you like your eggs for breakfast. You know, I mean, can't we, my question, can't we get a more streamlined approach? Can some of the stuff not be put on a system, you know, where it's not necessary every time that you go for a renewal, you just about start the thing. And yeah, I think you get my point. Chairperson, secondly, there's cash from the police cell. Have the police bothered to determine what are the root causes of that escape? Is it about infrastructure? What is the main cause of these escapes? But if you identify that, then obviously that can be managed down. That's the second thing. Chairperson, and then our presenter, Major General Rabi, he does a very good job, I think. He might mention that, yes, we dealt with this, you know, earlier on. And, you know, therefore we also got plans how the police intend managing it down. Now my question is, General Sipole, your plans since implementation, what are the indications? Are they succeeding? Are we making any impact? Or what is your assessment at this early stage? Chairperson, and then lastly, the implementation of the rural safety plan. This is coming on for a very, very long time. And, you know, we were told that the implementation date, if my memory serves me right, is in October, this very month. And I just want to confirm whether that's still the case. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. My name is Ersol and my attempt on the interaction of communities with the police. I saw on the Heritage Day where the police were engaging in other attack activities. And they were performing for themselves. And in evening sports, soccer and many other sports games, you find them performing for themselves. You know, and they're so good to a point where they can even challenge the league activities as well. And the reality is that our people want to see you in a more friendly environment where they can be able to trust you, engage you, and begin to open up. So I would like to encourage the commissioner to even engage our police, to engage more with our community. It shouldn't just be on awareness campaigns only, but there is a main part of our police where it needs to be taken out so that our people are able to even observe it from a different life, unlike where you are able to always see you on the drive where you are. You know, at some point you have complained that police keep you as such and such. So you are being looked upon as monsters instead of the policies that you have started. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
I will start with the part of this. As I previously said, spoke about the part of this. I see here there are couples and the hikers and the life that have been profiled, searched, maybe the worst success is on our part. My main problem or question is, why are we not having the necessary resources in this port of entry of South Africa, especially the scanners in the past administration for a second time? Secondly, why are we not having the K-9 unit in those port of countries that will be there 24 hours? Because drugs and all these things, firearms, coming through these borders. Why are we not having this facility? Coming to storm the hikers, I can see how many recoveries are there, but you don't have how many the hikers are being stolen in South Africa, because we do have that statistics. We have got VIS units in every province that can provide us with that information, but we don't have. Because we must know that we have recovered 28,000 out of how many that have been stolen. If you recover 28,000, how many that have been stolen? We have over 100,000 they want. So that we can see that our working not. I think the other one is about the victim support centers. I just want to find out from, are all these stations having victim support centers
is not one. FCS. I have noticed that FCS is a very important unit that deals with gender violence crimes. But if you go around and look where these people are working, it is great. You don't have offices. And it can be that you find two, three investigators in one office. Because when it comes to interviewing and all these things, you need your space, your space where a person must be free to talk. So there is a problem with this one. They don't have offices. And why, what are we doing about this? Something must be done. And other than offices, how many units do we have around South Africa as units? As we see the crime in South Africa, the gender violence crime, how is it growing? So how many units are we here? Why are we not involved in that area? Thank you very much.
Thank you. So maybe on the last part of this, I'm thinking that because we are going to do oversight, I align myself with you on the issue of the domestic violence, but also on the victim empowerment center. That maybe when you go down, they will be able to confirm the numbers that are here, because sometimes it's just ticking off the box. If you have been to police station, some of them don't have that. But you see at 1,000 something, and then you ask yourself, where? Maybe that can be something that we can get, and I align myself with you on the issue that we need to see. I will start on the issue of the serious crime. Numerous incidences of gang and petty violence and good public favors, whatever unrest. But also on this issue, I'm asking myself that when you see things like this, you analyze them internally. Do you sometimes go externally, like using the Human Science Research Council, to critique you or look at what the work that was done? Because I know that they will use the young people at universities, and they will go down deeper and to the ground. And when you confine that to yourself, I can tell you that you'll never get anything out of it. Because you are never sure that that person did this research or the analysis is correct. That is one thing that I still don't agree with a number of things. Information that comes out of this, how are we going to deal with this gap? Now, the other thing is that how many times do you use the institutions of government, like the very same Human Science Research Council, into whatever work that you are doing, and your capacity also on researchers? How many researchers do you have? What is it that you are doing? Do you get anything where they sometimes can work and deep information into the analysis? As much as I know that we have a program with the forensic, but you were supposed to be telling us that we have so many researchers, they are failing us. So many social workers are there, but this is actually, we can't win the cases. And I think I have a problem with that, because now and then we talk about the same thing, but we come out with nothing that is just telling us that how are we going to look at that? Because each and everything, whether it's murder, it's offences, it's an increase of rape of women, there should be the root cause. We should know what actually makes this thing now to go up now and then. The one that is also disturbing on the report of crimes against women, that has increased on 1.2%. One thing that is actually very clear that came out in the Peter Stability Cluster Chairperson is that most of the cases that are not open, that police overlook them, are of the high profile. Business people, lawyers, you name them, advocates, and to prove it, there are cases in the justice, in the magistrate commission. The case that has been going for a very long time because a person who goes in and out of court has been raped a person. And those are cases that somebody doesn't want to open up a case until it's taken by somebody who's going to say, you are going to open up this case. And those cases are many that you find women will die because so and so can pay the police as they say. We don't know whether they pay them, but they say they can pay the police. And those are things that we must check on those cases. I think that there should be a special desk on cases like that. Because most of the time they are thrown back to us as members of parliament. But we must be sure where we take them so that they don't go to the same police office or the same police station because people are scared of Mr. So and so. Or if a high profile person, a reverend, that you say Murusi Gafet Deyalo, but Murusi is a different person. You know, they also are doing all those things. Then we go to the issue of the rape. You know, this thing of the bail, this thing of the bail afternoon, of bail at night, I think we really need to look at the legislation that can try to change things. Because you can't even at that time check whether this person has been an abuser, has been a murderer, but a person because came with a certain attorney who's powerful, a person gets bail at night, but you find that the wife is about to die. And I think the case at hand, a gentleman, is the case that is in Gauteng, the one of the women who was actually strangled by this man. And then it took members of parliament at night to make sure that the minister knows that there's something like this for this man to be rearrested. It cannot be right. It cannot be right. The police must actually listen to communities. And that goes to the same issue of saying, when you do the campaign, I like the issue of the campaigns where you use the youth commission, commissioners and all that. But in that, you are lacking. You don't have women that is in that fold. Your fold says that you are using the youth, and I remember that slide very well, and the traditional leaders concept. But the question was, where are women? I can tell you, women are the ones that know better. The women, we know everything that is happening. If your husband is a killer, or your children are killing, you are the first one to watch that blood. And most of the time, we see quite that we can tell you that wrong is there. And I'm saying this because for those who were in housing for some time, Nyaope, if maybe you can go to say this, Nyaope started in money laundering. And when it started in money laundering, with all the ingredients saying that it was done with them and all that, it's women that brought that to the attention of housing. But what happened at that time? Somebody said, we are not sure. Which means you wanted somebody to kill or the snake to bite somebody to see that it's venomous. That is what we are doing. Today, Nyaope is actually the biggest and killing. And if you can see how dangerous it is there, a person sleeping, but as I am a lady, a person can't hear me. I'm saying a person sleeping, but standing. Have you seen that? That's how Nyaope dies. But we have to wait, you know, as a shock. It seems somebody eating, but the eyes are closed and going to the jail. I said, no. And it was declared by housing problems. But we waited for over 5 years because we never wanted to believe a poor woman from Mamelodi who was in the CPF, who said, I saw this. And they called it Nyaope at that time, and it's still Nyaope today, but we don't look at that. So that's one part of the education, but Brown Street is still there in class. When Nyaope is delivered, there's nobody that doesn't know that there's Brown Street. And you ask yourself, Brown Street, from commissioner to commissioner, nobody can give you that place. But the appliances and everything are still there. But it goes back to the same issue that Honorable was saying, you know, the issues of foreigners. Foreigners are the ones that are receiving now Nyaupe, sending it. And they are taking appliances to them. They are the ones that are opening now the pawn shop. Because we are not even following on the second-hand good deal that is there. We are not using it. And those are things that are just building because we are becoming somewhere where we will be left. I want to challenge the crime pattern analysis to say that they must up their game. Up their game and go and check with others to say that this report that I'm giving, is it right or not? Because we cannot believe where any sample must be tested by somebody to see that it's working. If you are sure you want to do a good job, be sure after you have been criticized to say that what you are bringing is not right. The last part is on the toxicology. I know that we have a problem of the forensic. We don't have a number of them and all that. But here you are saying the long outstanding toxicology report between 1 and 10 years due to the complex process of analyzing samples. What is that? Is it because of capacity or what? Because I really want to know, because this problem has been there for a very, very long time. And nobody comes in to tell us. And I even said the last time, Chairperson, that we keep on saying we have sent our people to go and study forensic overseas and all that. And we have a good one, but we don't see the results. And I think we also need to be checking on when we actually take out money that is good for people to go and study. But when they come back, are they empowering others? Because it's not for you. It's for making sure that you empower others. Send people to go somewhere, and when they come, they have a system that you will be actually one of the teams that are going to be working on making sure that things happen from there. So I think on the CPS, we'll wait for the issue of Western Cape, because we have an engagement with CPS, I know, on the program that we will start by meeting this ones that are here. And the school safety plan, I must say the school safety program committee minister implemented at 1,300 identified schools, but children are dying every day. So what I would suggest is that per province, just give us a school name. So that when we visit a provincial level, we know where the school safety plans are happening. Because we are promised a police officer, a school, and so on. And who are those police officers? And it's the same as when we actually want things to happen. Don't break police officers that stay in the office and just find them in the school. Bring a powerful young person to deal with young people. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I wouldn't want to dwell much into the presentation, but just to look at my conclusion observation regarding the management action plan on page 174. It says that there will be an implementation on turnaround plan which will commence as from the 1st of August. And my concern is there are so many plans. Even here you can see that these are just additional plans. The thing is, how are we monitoring and evaluating if are these plans really giving us a correct or a proper outcome? Because when you look at all the problems that are there, all the reported issues that were tabled today, you see that it only lacks monitoring and evaluation and how to move into all of this in order to be achieved. So mine would be, we have plans, we have policies, we have everything. How are we going to do it? How is it monitored? And how frequently is it monitored? Because my problem with referring to to the last presentation made with regard to the crime stand. It's only reported when it's supposed to be reported. What we need is, we need frequent reporting, of which the chair will probably give direction as to when and how. But we need to have a way in order for us to reflect correctly on all these issues by monitoring and making sure that there's progress in all that is being tabled to us.
Thank you, Chairperson. And Chairperson, I think all of us can say the same thing. And I think it's important that to raise some of the few issues that have come up for me. The issue of interest crime, contract crime, and drug information. You see, there's this issue of foreign nationals and people coming up national commission. I think we need to be specific when we come to this area, because some people will use this as a political game when we discuss this issue. I think when we say that there's an influx of foreign nationals, we need to put that next to what we are saying, to say that because of the influx of foreign nationals, these are the crimes that are committed in this area. We need to be specific when we come to this, because if we just put it like this, then other people will take it but also you are saying that there's an increase in contact crime, there's an increase in serious crime. But what do we do about it? What is the way forward? I think that is what is important that you need to know. The second thing, Chairman, is on page 156, there's an issue of community outreach campaign. After 98, we have achieved 81. I think this is what Honorable Chairman was saying, that this is the platform that we create for that to be closer to the community. It will come in at a different angle, because we have not achieved the target. We are sitting at 31 and then they said, well, oh, this is 31 problem. I don't know what this 31 means. But it means that you are not doing what is expected. And because your aim for this was for you working at the end meeting, which we know that in each province we have a serious issue when it comes to death. So if you go to your community outreach program, how are you going to meet this target? On the issue of the drug-based plan and drug-based strategy commissioner, I think on this one, it is important also to focus on both. I know it was alluded to, because many of these crimes sometimes are happening in schools to the HM, because we listen every day on the radio and on the TV, there's a serious issue when it comes to school. And as Honorable M has said, that we just don't need to put anyone there. We need to put people with skills to make sure that they are there, because there's also an issue of drugs, the chaperones in this school. So I wanted us to focus on that, to check everything. Thank you for that.
Thank you, Chairperson. Very nice comment. It's on page 172. On the process that has started to develop the National Drug Master Plan. I think it's a good thing, but it needs to be. But I want also to propose, Chairperson, that previously we had to give the presentation that says the main contributor on the gender-based violence are mainly drug and sexual abuse. And those things are mainly happening during morning hours. Now, I want to propose that if possible, can't we start with the process of reviewing the operating hours, especially at the tavern, because those are the main contributors on this gender-based violence. And on the issue of the substance abuse, I see that the proposed program relating to community education, I think we need to develop a program as soon as possible on the community outreach program and identify and target especially the youth because are the main people who are involved in this substance abuse. And I think it will be important also to identify one of the youth who is being rehabilitated. Surely that program at least to motivate the youth because they are the ones who are using this substance abuse. So I think if we can focus on that, maybe something will happen, we can be able to change the society because most of the things that are happening at the one level. And I think we should also include the ward counselor, the CPS, and the ward committees. I also want to propose that because if we do community outreach program, we must also include the CPS. How about the CPS also for the process of vetting? And after we have identified them and gone through the process of vetting, they also should receive a training. And as part of the motivation working with the CPS, why can't we propose that maybe they should at least be supported by receiving a stipend or a teaching allowance chairperson? Thank you.
Welcome, Honourable Member Whitfield. You may not have seen the presentation, but you may have read it, and there are some questions to ask. We'll carry on later and then I'm sure you have more questions. Honourable General, mine is a number of concerns. The first is that we have those 15 priorities in this station. Now, when we saw the crime set, very few of them moved out of the 30 priority police station zone. And there was very little improvement over the years when it came to the number of incidents reported, especially gender-based violence, crime against women, crime against children. And if you go back to the crime stats and you look at those 30 police stations and analyze the crime there, I do not see any proof. So if there are priority police stations, the bulk of the top 30 crime stations for violent crime happen to be in Gauteng, KwaZulu-Natal and the Western Cape. Can we ask that these three provinces must one present their action plan to the committee? That the action plans have to indicate each and every top 30 crime police station and every category of crime which you identify in the crime stat. So each category should have an action plan for reduction over a period of time. Your minister and you are constantly saying that if the president wants violent crime to be reduced within 10 years, you are committed to the next 5 years. But those 50 police stations, they are not moving. I don't see them leaving that priority list. So if you are priority, it means you in the intensive care unit. Now how long do you stay in the intensive care unit? You must either move to the mortuary. Or you must recover. And if you don't recover, you must go to a hospital. But there's no hope for you. So how long are you keeping people in the priority area? And then I reiterate the call for us to have quarterly crime stats. Please. How many reserves have been involved in crime? Our concern remains the criminal element in the police force. If we want to root out the criminal element in the police force, and we do not do a strict vetting of your reservists, how do you know that these reservists have not been involved in crime? The same with the CPS. The last interaction we had, that these CPS had to be vetted. The members of the CPS had to be vetted. The members of the neighborhood watch. Why do you have a neighborhood watch and a CPS in the Western Cape? I have no idea. If you can explain that to me. I would also like to raise what is happening at the Central Firearm Register. It has been raised, but I want to put emphasis on it. In my conclusion, I want to say that the members are correct when they are raising concerns about the processing of the firearm license. We are inundated with calls and complaints about the firearm owners on a daily basis. We are inundated with calls and social media and any type of contact with crime. Even the staff of the committee, I'm sure Babawa, you also receive the calls, also on a daily basis. Staff also receiving it on a daily basis. So this is, it's out of control. We can look at the firearm, Central Firearm Registry, the firearm license. If we can just stop the gap for intervention, we would have improved our lives quite considerably. Finally, I would like to, this question that was asked, but I want to highlight, I'm just lifting those ones that I share. Concern. The border and the porous nature of our borders. It is not the responsibility of the police, but it's the basis of a number of our core problems. And if we speak about an integrated approach, a cluster approach to this, then what does the police want us to say to the cluster in terms of the borders? Because everybody seems to be blaming someone else. But the pact stops with us when it comes to crime. And those porous borders also happen to be one of the legs of crime. It's a leg which is something which is crippling our economy. For today, unless any other members have more questions, I'll grant you an opportunity to respond, National Commissioner.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. Thanks to the honorable members for both questions, comments, and also guidance. As usual, I will take the strategic part of the questions. And it will be important for me to start at the end because there is a difference at the end. The first question is regarding the borders. What do we expect the community to say to the cluster? There's also other several questions that talk to more or less the same principle. And what I would request to the community, because I wanted to link it to to the previous proposal by the government itself that we should go on a charter permit. I wanted to then ask the committee to give us the opportunity to put a document together and on all these matters, and then a document that we can avail before we get to the charter permit containing everything that we expect the charter to fresh us and also relate to us. If there's a prepared deadline by the committee as to which when should we bring it to the committee first, we'll speak to that deadline. Then the intervention in the firearm licensing environment, I want to start by saying yes, at the present moment we have the turnaround plan, but within the turnaround plan we're going to build this intervention. And maybe even when we're expected to come and do a presentation solely on the firearm, because I think previously the committee was calling us to just talk on the firearms, we would also present this particular intervention, but we take the guidance. Then there's neighborhood watches and EPS in the Western Cape. I'll first talk to the directive that I have given, both to the provincial commissioner of the Western Cape. I will also discuss the third point with the MEC, and we also gave the direction in the government that the CPS is a policy or legally recognized structure that takes precedence and oversee all other community-based interventions. So the neighborhood watch does not have autonomous standing, not standing at all. It can only exist within the framework of CPS. Then, but in order to resolve the challenge that is in the Western Cape, I have instructed that we workshop the provincial community policing strategy. And we have agreed with the National Consultative Forum. I think I gave a budget to deploy them here to come and help the Western Cape to develop a provincial community policy strategy, and that particular strategy will be adopted by all and is the one that's going to be the framework. Therefore, whether it's neighborhood, community patrol or everything, they will result under the umbrella of that plan. And that plan will be linked to the national community policy strategy which was promised by the president. So that's how we resolve this problem. But the National Consultative Forum is also driving the process of getting the community policy strategy provincialized across the country. I know Eastern Cape has already launched their provincial plan. I think Gauteng is at an advanced stage. I think there's three policies which are already launched, but we're giving them that particular framework. Then, Chair, let's talk to you a little bit. The reason is the policy has been reviewed, and I find the reviewer. And the review committee is talking to the current demand for us to have reservists, which we agree with the committee. But going now to the festive season, I've signed off 15 million for reservist quota. I think it's divided according to the different policies, and it's going together with the instruction for their deployment. the recruitment is continuing from the policy review, and the directive is we go on maximum recruitment and as well as maximum deployment. As a result of the fact that we need them as a force multiplier. The other proposal by the honorable member that we consider issues of strategy and other, that is going to head within the plan, the implementation of the strategy. Because there's other methods that we need to look at, among others, the funded mandate, the budget, and other stuff. But that plan is taking community policy forward. So that's what's going to be looked into. The top 30 stations, firstly, our client-based practitioners, they've been instructed to come up with a clear criteria, which I think the committee also just need to have, so that when we say this is the national top 30 station, what criteria is it made? Then there are also top 30 and top 40 from provinces. They've got their own. And then that criteria must also be clear so that if honorable members are over 13, then they should know. And that's the difference between that station and this one. Then I then need to say that there's few stations which has gone out of the top 30 criteria, especially in the Western Cape. And I want to run my own open and say they are still few, but there are those that are coming out. And the focus or the emphasis is more on getting them off that particular list. The interventions are diverse. The one station goes to the top 30 because it's a hotspot. But the other one is the crime rate, the profile has been inflated. Among other things to do in order to get that station out of the top 30 is either to build a satellite or even build the second police station so that you alleviate the weight. I think if there are instances where we have started doing that in terms of the planning. So others will get them quick. If it's a hotspot, we put it on federalization, then we go high density policing approach. So it's quicker than a station that went to the top 30 because of the inflated profile, because it's just a way in there, and it is because of the profile. And then there's various other interventions. But we're going to comply with the presentation by the three provinces that are planned by the Honourable Chair to come and present their action plans, because those action plans are there. And beyond that, I think we will also be further prepared. It will depend what the Honourable members are making out of that, but we can also expand and account more on those particular stations. The vetting of CPS is in the community policy strategy. Moving forward, as we implement, it's linked to the development of the vetting capacity within CI and working together with the SSA to assist in the process. So there's a project that would be running on the vetting of CPS. The other honorable member spoke about the review of the operating hours. I think that directive has already been issued and a resolution taken in the Saturday crime retreat. I think what the common trend identified is that our problem with crime starts all from Thursday to Sunday. Now we are going to change those particular hours. I think more members will get their rest days during Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Then we're going to start working Thursday, then across. So just cautioning that it's common thinking and common vision. So it will be implemented. Then I wanted to speak to cases of high profile. We buy the suggestion of the high profile test. I think they never lose money with the international competition. We could get to that particular test. But also, this test will also be linked to a special capacity so that we, where and when we have a problem, and we realize that it might be difficult for the local police to effect the arrest, that we were able to pull the case immediately, and then we make use of national capacity. So I think the DSC will look at that. The external research, I think certainly in the crime retreats, there's also been deliberation on external, on research in general. One, we revise our own internal research, we do a lot of research. But two, there are areas where we are using CSIR already. And the minister is in conjunction with BPM, they are also mobilizing other research institutions. And we are afraid to work together with them so that they are free to support us. I also want to equally encourage honorable members, if they know of other research institutions, I think they can refer them to us so that we can work with them. So that mobilization, I think, will assist us, because we will then proceed to get more capacity. But we also have the civil center concept. In the civil center concept, we intend to establish an integrated research center. Apart from commissioning research, we also want to do research collection. One of the examples is the victims of crime survey. I think that I gave specific tasking to the authorities to say, let's get that research, let's look at the findings, let's look at which of the findings which we can implement now and can assist us. But apart from that, there's various other research done elsewhere. So we're going to do that collection. Then I need to try and explain this inadequate intelligence. And I'll try to explain it very well. Number one, the intelligence has been utilized effectively so to take down the mastermind, which is cutting the drug supply. And that has been seen in our takedowns. And the first thing I want to explain is that when we have more takedowns where we cut the supply, it also even then begins to have a bearing on probation, on your street activities. So sometimes it would go down. But here, it's the inadequate relate to the number of operations, not intelligence. Because intelligence is always there, and when it is there, it triggers operations. But it doesn't mean we must hold operations only. There's other types of unconventional methods which are enriched by the same intelligence. If we follow the unconventional method, we will not go on the overt operations. So I think this particular aspect relates to other operations that need to be driven. I'm just saying, I'm concerning that those operations in terms of number, they are not adequate, but sometimes they are driven by the purpose of life. When we take down that is the bigger consignment of drugs, and we have done for it was more allocated. But what we're going to do now is to balance the two so that they don't work against each other. Then the measurement for reporting crime was agree with the honorable member. I think there are systems and processes, even measures that we put in place. Like for example, in terms of the gender-based violence strategy, the sexual and gender-based violence strategy, we are putting in measures to make communities compatible, especially our women and children, to come forward and report crime. And as they come forward, that is performance. It may be a doable to get them coming forward. But obviously, the fact that there's no crime, it sends a different message. Now, I think the measurement, if you could talk more to what are we doing with the increase, I think that's where we want to balance it. But I think if we need them to negate each other, that's where it's going to be the problem. And if we punish the commanders down there, we penalize them, sometimes we'll try and play tricks to find another way so that the reporting goes down. But I also want to be explicitly clear, and this message was brought forward by both myself and the minister. Any policeman member who chases a person away so that crime cannot be reported, that is a serious and diseasable misconduct. And if we get it, we follow the expeditious process. And we deal with it on the spot. So that is not allowed. Sometimes here and there we did receive a call from few honorable members, but those cases were dealt with on the spot. We will continue to do that. The crime state and the foreigners, maybe we will try to do it in a better way. The first thing I can say is that we've got a platform where we present crime against foreigners. And that platform has been created by DERCO. So it's between our minister and the minister of DERCO. Then the ambassadors, they also come in there. But because they were interested, we gave them those particular steps. But the one thing that we're trying to avoid at all costs, we don't want the current situation to be portrayed as xenophobic, because we deal with criminals. Yes, I think that's our starting point. So we only avail these steps upon the request by the ambassadors and all the foreign countries through the minister of DERCO. They only want to know the picture of their citizens who are committing crime in Zimbabwe. So we avail them as per that request. But if the community has got a similar interest, then we suggest it should not be impacted. Yeah, because we don't want to encourage xenophobia. And I was also hearing the interview with me on media, we are arresting criminals. Then, sir, the implementation date for the Aurora safety development is next week. And can I request the support of the honorable members if they can? I think rural safety is a very serious subject. And it also aligns with, this coming Friday, actually, I'm still on last week, and I'm still calling this with Netflix. It's this coming Friday. Can I apologize? Can I apologize and say, together with the Deputy Minister, we found an invitation today? Yes, we will correct it today.
I have been to yourself.
Yes, we apologize for correcting today. We are the most important stakeholder. Yes. Then, Robert, within our safety, honorable members must also expect the involvement of the traditional leadership and others, because these two concepts, they complement each other. They are both robust. And the activities which are there, they then include what we call community-based interventions. And one of those that we actually venture on is community-based mounted units. I think both farmers and traditional leaders, they are availing quite a lot of horses. Some of those horses, we screen them for our own mounted units. If they pass the criteria, we take them. But those that do not pass the criteria, we establish community-based mounted units. And we train them so that we have more capacity in the rural area. It's the same with the reservoir. We are going to train develop the capacity for reservoir in both sides, on the farm side and on the traditional leadership side. Those who pass the criteria to become a reservoir, we take them in. Those who do not, we keep them in the community in blue concept. And we continue to train them. So that's what is going to happen. Then, and taking the main part of the province and showing it to the community, okay? And that way, we are using the community policy strategy. But we are also going to make use of all the community mobilization intervention, including the outreach, and as well as the individual. So we intend to do more of that so that we allow communities to be interact with us. The last part I wanted to touch on the strategic part is the port of entry equipment. I think the port of entry equipment are capital in nature. And then as and when we acquire them, we go more on the FTF route than the financial year route. So I think they have been prioritized together with the public order equipment. And we therefore intend to acquire them through the FTF period. But what we're going to do, as and when we acquire them, we'll update the COVID. And we will work hard in order to make sure that they are there. Then the all stations with victim support centers, I don't want to say 100% because there are instructions of two that you said they must be established. I think there are those that have the capital project plan as we speak. For those few stations, okay. I think the number we're using here is 984 across the 1,100 and couple. So the difference is in the capital project list. But I don't want to come to what honorable members want to see in the action across the kids support centers. So we're working on the optimization, the training of the members at those particular police stations is also a priority for their every year. But there's also volunteers that we want to support. Some of them, they come from the community side and others. I can just shortly say we are capacitating them so that they become functional. We will appreciate any oversight message that we get in terms of the outcome when honorable members have visited them so that we can also work on those within a short space of time. Then STS, I have started an upgrade of the unit. Firstly, there's a work study, but there's also a resource requirement that the CNC is working on. But it's an urgent one because it needs to respond to the gender-based strategy now. So it's in an upgrading that is covered as I'm speaking. Honourable Chair, I will afford the yes, is the opportunity to relay them other methods.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. If I may just add on the victim friendly statistics, those that are offending are the non-divorced facilities. However, we have requested permission from Public Works that granted us the permission to put back home. So the process is on the app of going to put back home as the victim friendly facilities. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. Just a few ones that I want to add on what the additional commission said. On the inadequacy issue, I think the additional commissioner has elaborated. But also the message is very clear, Honourable Mapato, that I think we're encouraging us also not only to look at the top of the pyramid for the kingpins and those bosses, but we must also look at the runners, the couriers, the mules, and we could probably call a roll-up process. Maybe I don't want to divulge too much what that it means for the sake of those that are listening. But there's a certain methodology that we use to make sure that we deal with them very subtly, without them having to realize that we are watching them. So I think we're encouraging us to do more on that work. The ministry is clearly yet. Honourable from the EFF, I think the issue of the vehicles, how many vehicles are stolen, quite a sizable number, because of some surmountable challenges. Part of that, I'm sure, the issue of the cliche about the porous borderlines and all those kind of things, but those are surmountable challenges that we get. But quite a sizable number, but all borders could not be called an open process where we are having a conventional methodology that seeks to deal with the vehicles that are stolen in droves into and out of South Africa. So I think that's what we are doing that as well. But I can just mention that 2018-2019, so 39,008, and hitherto is 18,829. But I think, as I said, our members have ceased to intervene in that regard. The issue of Honourable Mufukeng, the issue of rapists, is indeed we agree. It's a sketch. The crisis in the country. I think the highest office. Our Honourable President spoke on this one. The National Commissioner is overseeing and has endorsed the project that seeks to deal with all red cases, the court case strategy that the National Commissioner introduced. There are people that are working on this in all provinces, monitored from the head office. We'll be also making sure that we monitor this from time to make sure that we deal with all cases. And I must say that most of the members that are involved, those are big offenders, people that have been given bail. And these are some of the issues that I think we need to look into to make sure that if it happens that someone gives bail to an offender, there are strict conditions attached to that. So we are looking to that. The case we can't sit on our laurels. We have to do something about it on the wrong today and deploy some kind of strategies that will be able to make sure that they remain behind us. The issue of toxicology report, there's a two-pronged kind of approach in dealing with this issue. One, it's the blood report. Your health department, health forensic department
are dealing with this issue, then that analyzes this, particularly your bad alcohol reports, is then that are dealing with this, and we are also being served by Healthy Budget in that regard as well, in relation to your cardiac homicide cases. Two, our forensic also deals with this, but mainly from your point where a person has been poisoned and there is a vomiter that can be analyzed, we also deal with that. But I do agree, Honorable Tukey, that I think our communities are not facing the long list of backlog and outstanding toxicology reports, and then we will indeed try to do something about it. Already, when we are having some challenges in Tibet and other areas as well, because of the truth of faith, we are trying to do something about those things. So, General, I thought maybe these are a few things that I needed to clear as the honorable members did ask. Thank you very much. The issue of the cannabis.
Sorry, and also the issue of honorable marketing, which asked that if police officers arrest the victim and that they take them to the
The your client service center is supposed to be your very conducive whole face capacity. That when a person comes in, that's why you are not saying chat with this anymore. We are saying client service capacity. That's where when this person comes in, there's a procedure that is used. One, you have to have a victim facility capacity where this person can be entertained. Who's dealing with this person? Minister of State. We need to have more women sort of put into the FCS. And in the sense, there has to be two or three women that will be dealing with the victim. I think that so that 10% will not be, you know, emotional in other that can be the victim. So I think that there's something that has to be to be taken into account. That's why we have to have a sense chart, in particular, generally in relation to the cases, but in particular in relation to cases against women and children. So that's something that we need to look at. But also, if a police officer has done this, I know that National Commissioner, there are strict measures that we have put into place to say that what should happen to this person. Expeditious forces are also involved in this regard, because this person has committed a very serious misconduct, and the expeditious forces interview with this person in terms of disciplinary concern. So I think, General, unless is there anything that I share that I've missed.
Chair, with your permission, I can just give the General Chamber to talk on the interview with the operations before we wrap up.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, National Commission. Let me just understand this. I think this is page 152 on the intelligence service operations. I think maybe it's important just to maybe a bit of appropriate wording, and might be the issue of language on inadequate intelligence driven operations. But maybe if I can explain this with Chair, Honorable Chair. Is, remember, these are cars, old vehicles that they recover. Now, in the life of a car, a stolen car, there are five options. And this particular set only records the old car that's recovered. The car, standard stolen vehicle, goes to a chop shop, either goes to a chop shop, goes over the border, is an instrument in crime, it's found abandoned, and the first one, registered this as a clone. So part of the part of this is the way this thing is. And because remember here, when he is reporting on the vehicle, the stolen vehicle is covered. But this vehicle is covered in very common forms. I think that might be a specific challenge to the way it was raised. But certainly we as the intelligence and the key involved all of in the recovery of all of this operation. Part of the challenge has been indicated dependency between different operational arms. The arm vehicle recovered, for example, that we've been involved with in CIT, that as part of the issue that we've been going forward is how to take what we recovered there and register, particularly so that the data that we have is correctly recovered. I thought that's an important area as well. On the challenge of thermal operations. Maybe the issue on the second issue of generally if I may, on the issue of CPS. Sadly CPS hasn't been part of our BAPIN protocol. But we're looking at we developing a particular method. So one of the first things that we'll be busy with is the initial screening of CPS. Because what we do have, I know in the CPS, there's one particular CPS where the CPF was duly elected chairman, but they had a criminal record. So those issues have now been resolved, and the screening of CPF have now been resolved. I know the chairperson was suspended here. He was suspended and is no more the chairperson. So the screening process has helped to resolve that. And then as we go along in the development of that capacity, of developing the CPS, but also because they are volunteers, they're not like the police where the police official is obliged to provide them these financial records and all of the things. How does the volunteer do we compelling? So if it's involved in the CPS, that will change and then manage the CPS. So I thought those are the two issues that I wanted to say about the comment.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Chair. The one question that we my heard a question on the firearm. I think that we are looking at reviewing the cumbersome process. And then secondly, I think I am going to call our legal team and as well as visible policy so that we reconcile the one instruction regarding the renewal. And I think the instruction will be out before Friday. But it will make it known to the honorable members because I'm avoiding conflicting instructions. So that's what we're going to do. Then the last question, there was also training of the FOs is a priority. It's part and parcel of the current training and development program. And then it's running through them. The last question is on the impact, whether these plans are making an impact. But I'm only going to tell the honorable members what has been our experience in the weekend meeting. The provincial commissioners were presenting their action plan progress report. I think if any of the 9 provinces, they turned the arrows. They now turning down. But the only difference is that they are not yet free. But crime is no longer going up. They managed to turn the errors. There are few areas where the errors are free. But we haven't moved to a distance where we can say this can send a message of faith back to the community. Then we then decided that we need to sustain this. The one problem where the errors were a little bit wider, they are turning down on the up is Caledon. And then me. But I have also spoken and agreed with provincial commissioners that we work together. The progress that we realize is experiencing some progress, and yet our provinces are achieving the better results. We all rally around that problem and then we work together to change it. the two encouraging provinces which are away from the native countries is Gauteng and Western Cape. I think Gauteng is around. And there's quite a lot of crime here. There's a lot of criminals, there's a lot of things. But they are equal to the task they are on. You can see from their action plan and how they do things. And Western Cape is stabilizing. So, and we just need to sustain and we need to normalize. That's what I can say with regard to the intent. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
I'm going to pray for lunch. Honorable members,
everybody, can you please take your documents? Close your documents and take your documents. During the someone was making a copy of my document. So while the National Commissioner is here, someone is making copies of my document, and the person sees nothing wrong with coming to make a copy of my document. Now yes, it was the agenda item, but it's wrong. If someone comes to where you are sitting, while you are on the tea break, and makes a copy of your document, it's very wrong. You ask if you can have a copy. Can we also ask that the door of the venue be closed? Please. And there's cockroaches in the venue as well. Thank you very much.